Hello there and welcome back to series two of Leaps and Hounds, our dog training podcast. I'm delighted to be back here at Dogs Trust Harefield. Don't forget they've got lots of amazing dogs looking for homes here at the Harefield Centre. Also with me is Chris Glover, the amazing dog behaviourist here at the Dogs Trust. Welcome back, Chris.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Great to have you. Who have we got here?
We've got Maggie and we have got Tink. Maggie's woken up.
I know, we've put them to sleep already, haven't we? Listen, you've all been getting in touch with your dog training queries and questions. Thank you so much for that. We're really grateful. We will cover as many as we can in this series, but we've got one to kick us off with, a very special one from my amazing colleague at ITV. It's the lovely Lorraine Kelly. So let's see what dog training issue she would like addressed. Here you go.
Right, I need help with Angus. He always wants to play. I get him all sorts of toys. Then he goes away and he never brings them back. I throw a ball, then he grabs it and then he's off. So how do I get him to play properly fetch?
So that was the lovely Lorraine there. Her dog Angus, Chris, obviously loves to play but doesn't want to bring the ball back. What should Lorraine do in that situation?
So first off, we need to understand what Angus wants from play. So we need to consider things like what play items does he like to play with? Obviously balls. Why does he want to play with that ball? Probably the reason that he's not bringing it back is actually really enjoys keeping it in his mouth.
Yeah.
So if we can try and offer him something that is just as nice, then he's more likely to bring the ball back. Now we could offer food, so we could throw out the ball and then ask him to, or try and encourage him to come back to us, produce a little piece of food. He's likely to then drop the ball in order to take the food. The problem with that is that some dogs just really prefer balls.
They're like, I'm
food.
Not bothered about that bit of food. Know, whatever you try and tempt me with, no, I'm not interested.
Don't want it. So Angus is likely to want to keep hold of the ball. It might be that Lorraine quite enjoys as well, maybe running after him, and it's quite a chase game, so he's running around
with
the
ball.
See,
I think the funny thing is with dogs, isn't it, that they'll kind of make their own rules up. They don't know what version of fetch that you want to play. They don't know, oh, well, you want me to bring the ball back. They think, this is a great game.
Absolutely.
I'll get you to run after me. I'm going to hide from you. I'm going to not give the ball back when you want it.
Definitely.
They make up their own rules, don't they?
Definitely. So we need to understand what play Angus likes to do. Obviously, keeping the ball is something he really likes to do. Probably incites a nice little chase game. So if we can do like for like, so we could say, right, we throw out one ball and whilst he's sort of over there chewing his ball, we then start to play with the second ball. So that's two identical balls.
So that gets their attention and then you can just take one, throw the other.
Definitely. Or let him drop it. So as soon as he sees this one and goes, oh, that one looks better, drops the ball, amazing, we throw out the second one. Does mean that we need to walk over to retrieve the first, but it's absolutely fine. We're starting to get into that drop, so he's dropping the ball. The other thing that we can also do, we've got two little balls here, is we can have a ball that is better than the one he's got.
Uh-huh.
So we've got a normal ball,
yep,
and then we've got a squeaky ball. So what we could end up doing is throwing that ball out for Angus, and then while he's running around with that, start squeaking this one. He'll come back and go, oh, I really want that ball. Oh, that's amazing. So you've dropped that. And what I'm then going to do is pick this one up and cleverly throw it. So I always keep the better ball.
Sneaky.
I know, but it works.
A little bit of magic, a bit of sleight of hand to trick your dog. Nothing wrong with that, is there? Just to keep them interested.
Definitely. So that will work really, really well. If he does end up getting this, and especially if he's a breed that really likes squeakies, we're never going to be able to
get him back with that one.
For that. A little bit like
that's a good tip though.
Don't trade chocolate for a sandwich. Yeah.
It's not going to work, is it?
The chocolate. So the third thing that we can think about doing as well. So again, we said that Lorraine potentially has sort of involved Angus in what he perceives as being a really nice, you're chasing me game. And this is really, really good fun. We could get him teaching him to chase her. So we have a little ball like this, which is on a little bungee as well, that we can throw out that's attached to a line. So we hold the end of the line. And as soon as we throw it out,
yep,
he retrieves it. I then start to move backwards or run, turn around and run backwards, let out the line. And he's going to want to chase me. And as soon as he again catches up, we either give him a little bit of food to drop the ball or we swap it for another ball.
What a great idea. Although I've just got an image now of Lorraine sprinting across the park with Angus running behind her. It's well worth trying, isn't it? And we should just have a note of caution as well, shouldn't we, about sort of, you know, types of balls and also playing with sticks and the things that you're choosing to throw for your dog.
Definitely. So they have to be dog size, dog age appropriate. And if in doubt, definitely check with the vet. Please don't throw sticks. There are so many injuries that can be caused by a dog that ends up getting impaled on a stick or getting bits of stick stuck in their teeth. And also, we want to play with items that not only are safe, but actually the dogs enjoy playing with as well. So although I might absolutely adore playing ball play with my dog, if she or he doesn't want to play ball play, we've got to find a toy and a play type that they actually are interested in. So tuggy, you know, we again with something like this, we can still play tuggy, but we can still throw the ball. So the reward in the dog bringing the ball back is they get a little bit of tug play. Mm. And these are quite nice because they're quite stretchy as well. So yeah, so it's considering about what I want to do, but also what the dog actually deems as being play.
And tell us why it's so important to play with your dog. I mean, I remember with my dog, Bailey, they actually said to us that, you know, that she was the kind of dog that you could never tire out. However many walks you took her on, you know, she was still going to be lively at the end of the day because it was the mental stimulation that you needed to work on to tire her out. So actually, that's why they said things like the tug of war, you know, the hiding the food in some of the toys, things like that was important. But also it's that bond you have with your dog, isn't it? That actually you want to make the most of it. And through play, that's a way of doing it,
definitely. So we can exercise our dogs so much better through play or through mental stimulation, and that's literally just using their brain. So again, if we go back to balls, we could hide the ball. So we could hide it in the garden, in the house, and ask the dog to go and find it. There are some amazing food toys that where you've got balls where you could actually fill it with their food. It would have to be dry food, so you'd have to think about something else if you're using wet. But they would just trickle it along, so they're still playing ball, but actually the food comes out of it. Again, we need to consider what do our dogs like doing. Both of these two like ripping things. Fortunately, not my thing, but any sort of destruction boxes. So those are just cardboard boxes with food inside that they can then tear apart. That's amazing. Might really enjoy that. Tink won't play with a ball filled with food. Not interested. Maggie will. So it's about finding out what they like before we go out and invest a lot of money in buying things that they might go, not really that keen on it.
I mean, listen, you were talking there about destruction. And obviously one thing, especially with younger dogs, that people find stressful is that the dogs will potentially, you know, chew shoes, chew anything basically they can get their whole hands on, sometimes furniture, all sorts of bits and pieces. I mean, I used to just get loads of toys that I would say to Bailey, in a sense, these are your toys, and I would just try and make sure to hide anything and everything that was ours. So there's a clear difference between do what you want with your stuff, but leave our stuff alone. I mean, it kind of worked for us, but is there a way of making sure that your dog only chews their stuff and not your stuff?
So what you've just described there is absolutely perfect. So make sure that freely available is the things that we want them to have. And anything that we don't want them to have, we keep out the way as much as possible. That's absolutely perfect. What we can also do is make sure that when we're playing with their items, we make it as attractive as possible. So if we think about a dog that picks up a shoe, especially if it's quite an expensive shoe, they end up getting chased around. They get huge amounts of attention. Maggie, even though she's now 9, she will go and collect my husband's shoe. She never destroys it. She doesn't do anything with it, but she will just drop it in front of me. And that means I need to stop watching the telly. I need to get off my laptop.
So it's an attention thing.
Absolutely, completely so with her. She did have a welly boot once that was covered in mud. That was attractive because that went all over the floor. But she will do that from attention perspective. So there are some dogs that just quite like the scent of us.
She knows you're talking about
she
her
said,
now,
I
doesn't
do.
She? Yeah, she says, I did do that.
She said, I do that still. So they will pick up items sometimes that smell at us just to get that comfort. That's slightly different. But if you've got a dog that is parading our shoes around because actually they know they're going to get attention from us, if we can try and, again, remove the shoes, but try and ignore that attention, ignore that situation, but instead put down their toys, and as soon as they pick up a toy, loads and loads of attention, then it means that we're just switching what the toy is that gets the most attention. What we also need to be mindful of, similar to Maggie, if I have been on the laptop for too long and she does want to go to the toilet or she just wants a little bit of attention from me, what I should be doing is, if that happens at 5:30, 20 minutes past five, I go, right, I'm going to stop. I'm going to go and get the toys out. So if we can preempt that need for attention, that need for play, so much better than responding to it.
And listen, just to pick up on a couple of potential problem areas, you know, if your dog likes throwing the ball, you throwing the ball too much, you know, the dogs that bark and bark and are obviously just saying, throw the ball, throw the ball, throw the ball. You know, is there a way of you being able to play with your dog, but for them to not get too excited about the game?
Yeah, so I think we need to be a little bit careful about allowing our dogs to over-obsess, especially about those chase games. So one thing I would always recommend, A, speak to the vet to make sure that your dog is fit and healthy enough to be able to play the game that you are you want to play with your dog, but also things about make sure they're warmed up, getting dogs straight out the car and then throwing balls across the park. It's a bit like us going out and doing a sprint before we properly warmed up.
Yeah.
And we know that causes injuries. So we've got to be a little bit mindful of that. The other thing to do, you're absolutely right, what we don't want to do is have the whole walk about just playing with the ball. So if we can do a few things like just hiding the ball in the undergrowth, getting them to just go in, sort of find where the ball is, maybe doing some sort of treat throwing exercises as well, so that they are then sort of just engaging on other things rather than just obsessing about the ball.
So there's a bit of variety there. So they're not always thinking, this is what always happens, and then you're trying to break that habit. Yeah, and definitely. Also just a thought, and this is a situation that has happened to me, when your dog picks up something when you're out on a walk, and, you know, whether it's a dead animal or something that you really don't want it to have, and then thinks it's a game when you're trying to get it back from them, and they're like, "Whoa, this is great, I'm going to run off, or I'm going to hide from you." You know, what kind of things can you do in that scenario?
So I think as soon as we are interested in something our dogs have got, we're putting a little bit of competition. We're basically going, "I want that dead smelly animal."
Of course we don't.
But again, it's to try and, if there's something dangerous, we need to get them to release it as quickly as possible. But if it's something that we can leave them with for a few seconds to a minute, it's just literally just removing our attention from. And then we just go, oh, look, there's some treats in this bush over here. And again, it's about just diverting our attention from what they've got. And hopefully in time, what they would do is they go, oh, actually, this is quite boring. I'm going to drop this. And as soon as they have, we can move them away. Whether we do it with a throw in of a tree or whether we do it by sort of moving away from the item, that's absolutely perfect.
I love this. Top tips. Are you smarter than your dog, isn't it? Basically, can you
absolutely
outsmart your dog on a regular basis? Chris, that's been absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much. Tink's now saying, time's up. If you had to summarise then for us, you know, some top tips on how to play with your dog, how to get the most out of your dog in those play scenarios, what would you say?
I would say, number one, make sure that what your dog wants to play with is what you've got available. So if I wanted to play ball play, but I've got a dog that's not particularly keen on ball play, there are means and ways that we can work through to get them interested in the ball play. But equally, it might be that actually they like playing tug. So let's play tug play with them. So definitely play the play item, play appropriate. So be mindful of the age of the dog, the physical capabilities of the dog. Again, check with the vet if you need to check, and just make sure it's fun. So it needs to be fun for us. It needs to be fun for them. Short bursts of it, preempting when we think that they want to play a game, getting in there and doing it, and making sure that we stop the play before it gets boring.
Chris, that's been absolutely amazing. Thank you so much. Thanks to all of you as well for listening to our first episode of the second series of Leaps and Hounds. We will be back next week with more of your questions, putting them to Chris again. But for the meantime, it's bye-bye from us. Thank you.